You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition, and this will be the third part of a three-part program. I gave the first part on Wednesday, and I encourage all listeners to really start on the first part, because I said a lot prior to starting the analysis and commentary on the president's speech, more as setting the context and what is he doing right, what is he doing wrong, and what is he not doing at all. And that last point, he's not really cutting government spending, and that's why his great plan that growth will go to 4%, 5%, 6% isn't going to happen as long as they keep running these massive deficits, because that puts a great big question mark, great big uncertainty as to whether or not the regime, the presidency, will be around. And when that happens, can you count on this tax plan first even being made into law, signed into law, and how long will it last? It has to be. Our government has to be put back on a fiscal responsible direction. And Donald Trump is not interested in that. He's just like any big government party member, whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. I remember Vice President Cheney under Bush. Deficits don't matter. Oh, they matter, and they pile up, and eventually it blows up. And we'll pay, America's going to pay a very, very severe price for that. Because then the social contract will be broken. And when you're getting that kind of situation, it becomes a revolutionary situation, a rebellion situation, and that means usually violence. Tomorrow? No. Next week? Probably not. A year from now? Nah, I don't think so. But within 10 to 15, maybe 20 years. You can't keep running hundreds of billions, trillion dollar deficits year in, year out. Eventually, nobody will lend money to you because you're not a safe proposition. The governments under both Democrats and Republican are spending way beyond the means of the American people. That needs to be addressed, and neither political party is up to it because they cause the very mess that we're in. And more people are leaving both parties. They don't trust Washington, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. They have a sense that something is fundamentally wrong. You see, I'm for fundamental tax reform, a fair tax, or my version of it, fair tax less. We need to get away from this failing and disastrous income tax system. That is really one part of an even bigger problem, and that is spending being out of control. So I am going to complete part three, and I will focus more on his speech. I'll pick it up more or less at the halfway point and then give you my running commentary. But before I do that, we do have some breaking news, and this didn't surprise me. I was in a newsroom, I guess it was Wednesday, when I was preparing for the first part of this. And that's when some of the news stories were really breaking about the Secretary for Health and Human Services, Dr. Thomas Price, apparently has been using commercial chartered flights. And those are not cheap. Now, if you're very rich, you own your own plane like President Trump did. If you're not very, very rich but rich, you might own part of a plane. Some people do that. The temptation is when you're at a high level, a cabinet position, I think, is a high level, you have to travel and you think you're entitled to better travel arrangements. Now, I would say fly commercial. You see, I worked for the government once when I was in the Air Force for over 5 years, and I was in a position where I had to travel a lot, mainly from Dayton to St. Louis, sometimes down south to Florida, but mainly, or Connecticut, but mainly that was the route. And I was in an organization where we had what we call a straight arrow policy. You really took nothing from the contractors, because I dealt with the contractors. I was a negotiator. I can remember having lunch in an executive dining room, me and my boss, immediate boss, full colonel. I was there more or less to fill in the details if we got into them. And we're eating a lunch at the executive dining room, but we have to pay for it. And the colonel made very clear that he wanted to pay. I wanted to pay. We weren't in the cafeteria. Normally, I would eat in the cafeteria or we would go out for lunch. But you were expected, being a government employee, in this case, being in the Air Force, to pay your own way entirely. And that was drilled into us because in the past, unfortunately, some people take freebies. And the executive said, this was a very high executive, but a major defense contractor, you know, that was making the F-15. It was a McDonnell Douglas at the time, and now it's owned by Boeing. And this was a high executive. And he made the point, he said, you know, it cost us more money to do the accounting when you do this than the lunch is worth. And it was a good lunch, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't some steak dinner or something like that. It wasn't that at all, but we paid it. I paid it. The colonel paid it. And eventually, I guess the accounting was taken care of. You got to be sensitive to the appearance of impropriety. And I would have thought, but it doesn't surprise me, that when you're secretary of a department, that you be aware of that. Now, for security reasons and communication reasons, there are certain government officials elected, not elected, but appointed. The Secretary of Defense is one, Secretary of Homeland Security, Attorney General, CIA, will fly on military planes. We didn't fly on military planes. We flew on commercial, and it was in the back of the plane, not even business class. The only time of And this was for over 5 years that I ever was in first class. And I still remember it. I was a lieutenant at the time. And the young stewardess came to me and said, Lieutenant, we have several vacant seats in first class. Would you like to sit in first class? I said, sure. And that was the one and only time that I sat in first class. Secretary Price was chartering. Very expensive way to travel is to charter a flight. Now, I know why people do it. They don't like to go through security. I haven't flown in many, many, many years, and there's a reason for it. I've heard all about the security, and I'm totally against the government running it. I know TSA does it. It's ridiculous. It's show. As far as I'm concerned, who has the most interest in making sure that plane is not taken over in any way or blown up? It's the airlines. They should provide the security, not the government. But we have, ever since 9-1-1, we've had this. So I can understand why the secretary wanted to. It's more convenient. You're not waiting on anyone. You pull up, get in the plane, land, do whatever business you have to do, then fly back. But it cost him his job today because he offered his resignation, and yes, President Trump accepted it. I said Wednesday he's going to be forced to resign. They'll let him submit his resignation, and Friday he's gone. And Friday he was gone. Late in the day, but he was gone. And it's a shame. It is a shame, because I thought he helped this administration, because he is a doctor, a medical doctor, and knows the ins and outs of Obamacare. He was opposed to it, as am I. So we lost a good person, but a person that should have known better. And it's a price that he's going to have to pay. Now, he offered, and as far as I know, is going to pay $52,000 to reimburse, but that doesn't cover maybe 10%. I don't even know what the total tab is. Like I said on the first part, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And if you work for the government, don't think you're entitled to the best travel arrangements. Because let me tell you, there are people that work for the government that takes the laws of these lands seriously and don't abuse the situation. It's an abuse of power. I think it's poor judgment, quite frankly. I kept saying, what was he thinking? Because once this came out, and he's not the only cabinet official that probably guilty of this, there might be some other secretaries that have also been abusing this. Think, well, I work for the government. They should pay for my transportation. Well, they will pay for your transportation on a commercial airliner. They also have a fleet of military aircraft. I'm well aware of it. I've seen them when I've been on trips to various defense contractors. This was many, many years ago. But it's really, if you really need that for some reason, namely security or communications, it's not for every cabinet secretary. So he'll be forgotten real quick, and we'll move on. And it is too bad. But maybe this is a lesson that other cabinet secretaries better pay close attention to, because there's no doubt in my mind that Big Lie Media is looking for scalps. And they got one. They got Mike Flynn. I don't think they got Bannon. Bannon, I think, knew it was time to move on. But they were trying to real hard. And I think there will be other ones, and probably within his first year. Now, let's get back to the president's speech on taxes. And I went about halfway. And what I'm going to do is let him speak a little bit longer before I interject my comments. Sometimes I can't resist, especially when he's saying something very right or very wrong. I call it the way I see it, both ways. You see, in terms of goals and what he's trying to accomplish, I agree with him. That's what's so frustrating about this. But he continues with the income tax. My biggest criticism is there are other ways to tax other than income. And the income tax, he even said, is a relic. I call it legacy. Legacy means it's past generations. That was the old way to collect revenue. The new way, you can collect it when people buy goods or services. It's not hard to understand. We have states that have sales taxes, and they do it every day. Wake up, smell the coffee. It's legacy. Or if you want relic, then why are you continuing it, Mr. President? Well, I told you why. He's not willing to address spending. And you can't get 3, 4, 5, 6% growth when that is the fundamental problem. Taxes is just a way to finance or fund the government. But when the government spending is out of control, you got to deal with the other side. It's just like running a business. Revenue are your sales. In the government, revenue are the taxes. What's out of control is the spending. This is not difficult to understand. But Donald Trump has the attitude, as have others, no one pays attention to the deficit or the debt. Oh, yes, investors pay a lot of attention to it. We've been spoiled, big time spoiled, because around the world, even today, many investors, when you get into a very worldwide uncertain situation, what we're talking about here is war. Money flees. Hot money leaves and looks for safety. And in the past, that has been U.S. Treasury securities. But as the federal government cannot balance a budget, has become addicted to not only spending addiction disorder, but also debt to pay for it, the debt bomb will blow up sooner than later. And what I mean by that, suddenly, and this happens real quickly, the interest rates that you have to pay to borrow go up, up, and up. It might be 2 or 3% now, and then 6% when a lot of people say, the risk is too much. I want a risk premium. That's exactly how they think, because I don't think the federal government's going to pay it back. So I need a higher interest rate. It happens all the time. And that's amazing when you think about it. And that's where we're going. That's where we're heading. So let me start.
But in terms of the tax and the tax strategy that Ronald Reagan used to create an economic boom in the 1980s, when our economy took off, the middle class thrived, and the family income of all families was increasing more and more, and it was a beautiful sight to behold. Since then, other nations have adopted, unfortunately, our playbook and ran it even better than we did. And I shouldn't say even better, because we didn't run it well at all, and we let other nations come in and take advantage of us and take our jobs away and take our businesses out. And we're stopping that, and you see it right here, what we've done. Today, our total business tax rate is 60% higher than our average foreign competitor in the developed world. That's not good. We have surrendered our competitive edge to other countries, but we're not surrendering anymore. We're not surrendering anymore. Under our framework, we will dramatically cut the business tax rate so that American companies and American workers can beat our foreign competitors and start winning again. We will reduce the corporate tax rate to no higher than 20%. That's way down from 35 and 39.
I will interject here. This is somewhat repetitious, but here's my point. When you switch from an income tax-based system, and that's what we have and that's what he's continuing, and go to taxation on consumption, what happens? Remember, a single tax, whether it's the fair tax or fair tax less, will replace virtually all, and fair tax less, all federal taxes. You no longer would pay personal income tax, corporate income tax. He's talking about 20% or 15%. Well, if you do away with the income tax, it's zero for both individuals and corporations. And also keep in mind the biggest tax that individuals pay in terms of sheer numbers of people is not the income tax, because, as I said, of the bottom 50% of taxpayers, in terms of the money collected from personal income, it's less than 3%. The number one tax right after personal income is Social Security, payroll taxes. That's the one that hits hard individuals, low income and middle income. Now, eventually, they keep upping the amount, but once you reach it, then it's not taxed at, you're not contributing into it. And a reason why I'm emphasizing this is the hardest thing for some people to understand. Think of a fair tax or fair tax less, which has slightly lower rate and a more generous rebate, but they're both broad-based consumption taxes. They replace all taxes, which means they have to collect a lot of revenue, not a little bit here, a little bit there type situation, because it would do everything he wants and a lot more. It does away with the alternative minimum tax. It does away with the state and gift taxes. It lowers the rate to zero for corporations and zero for individuals. You no longer have to send in a tax return, whether you're individual or a business. And that truly invades the privacy of your business as well as of an individual. And that's why we have a compliance cost of a $500 billion rising. See, he doesn't take it. He's not bold. And believe me, what I'm recommending has been studied by economists. The reason why it has not been enacted into law, what do you think the reason is? There are people that made the tax system this complicated, and they keep changing it and changing it depending on which political party is in power. Some will increase the number of brackets, some will increase the rates, some will decrease the rates and decrease the number of brackets. And it makes it complicated, uncertain, and that is the one thing businesses need and want but never get, is certainty. The more certainty, the better. What is government doing? It's increasing uncertainty. They can't plan ahead. They have very little idea what the tax rates will be. They're bouncing up and down, depending on who's in office. That's why I agree with President Trump. It's a relic. Its time is long past. It's the status quo, though, that's being defended by the people that own and control this company. Politicians are bought and paid for. They are doing the bidding of the people that make the largest contributions to their campaigns. In other words, the elites, the establishment in Washington of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the ones that are fighting this. And Milton Friedman, I need to add this as a YouTube video, I forgot to include it, made this point. He said, who is blocking tax reform? I'll tell you who. The politicians are. They don't want it. They don't want it. It's essential that we do two things, and neither of them do they want. One is have a tax system that's simple, fair, efficient, effective, and very transparent. Whether it's the fair tax or fair tax less, and I'm an advocate of fair tax less. Try to make it simple and more generous, because I know once it's in place, give it a year or two, nobody is going to want to go back to an income tax. And any politician that tries it isn't going to get elected. That's the reason they don't want it to get off the ground. There are people in the House and the Senate that have been trying, but there's been no champion. I thought maybe a possibility that President Trump would be that gentleman. He isn't. I know. There's a video, but that Mike Pence, at least at one time, was for the fair tax. Now, obviously, being vice president, he's going to be loyal to President Trump and is going to be pushing this. I understand that. But I had hoped that Mike Pence would have tried to convince the president there's a better way that accomplishes everything he wants to do. But even if the fair tax, miracle of miracles, let's say Donald Trump finally, the light goes on. And he says, you know, I've been thinking about it, mulling it over. You're right. Call it the Trump fair tax. I have no pride of authorship. I'm trying to do or recommend something that he's trying to do. And the frustration is the very thing that's causing the trouble is the income tax. He's perpetuating it. Now, he's going in the right direction. And that's what I said early. But he's not going all the way. Not even close. Let's pick it up again.
Which is substantially below the average of other industrialized nations. This is a revolutionary change, and the biggest winners will be the everyday American workers as jobs start pouring into our country, as companies start competing for American labor, and as wages start going up at levels that you haven't seen in many years.
Think about this. If we had the best tax system in the world, where income or labor is not taxed, capital or investment is not taxed, the only thing is taxed is when you buy a new good or service. You got to pay for the government. Like I said, I'm for limited government, but this will fund government. No doubt about that. Where do you think the investors from around the world will want to be? In the United States. All those factories that were forced abroad because of the increasing regulation burden as well as the tax burden will come back. But just tweaking the income tax isn't going to do it, because like I say, the first time the Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they're going to do what they've been doing for the last 100 years. And they're the ones that wanted the income tax. That should be a big tip. And it was going to be only for the rich. We're going to sock it to the rich. How did that turn out? Well, there's not that many rich people, but there are a lot of middle class people. And when you want big government, where does the burden fall? Obviously not on the poor that are dependent on the government for welfare or food stamps. It falls squarely on the middle class because there's so many of us. Mr. President, do your homework, because I don't think you've done it. And the reason I call this timid, I looked at the standard deductions and the talk, we doubled them. I looked at it and said, well, if you had multiplied by 4, going from roughly 6,000 for a single person to 24,000 or 25,000, and for a married couple going from 12 to presently in round numbers, 6,000 single, 12,000 for a couple. Trump wants to approximately double that. 12,000 for single, 24,000, 25,000 for married. That's miserly. What I'm recommending is it be 25,000. If you want to play this game, and I don't like playing the game because the income tax is the problem, but you're perpetuating it. It should have been much, much higher. Not 12,000, but at least 25,000 for a single and 50,000 for a married couple. And even that, I can make the case, because the fair tax less does this, it's a lot more generous. This is miserly. Now, this could be a little negotiation to get the Democrats to vote for it. Oh, you want more of the tax relief to go to the low income or middle income? Fine, and let's do better on the standard deduction. Maybe that's the game they're playing. But see, I would have done it the reverse. I would start high, and then they're going to talk us down. That's a negotiation tactic. My point is, do you think people, a single person making $12,000 should be taxed? I don't. $25,000? No. And the income tax was never meant to do that.
When our companies move to other countries, it's our loyal American workers who get hurt. And when companies stay in America and come to America, it's our wonderful workers who reap the rewards. And I just left the United Nations last week, and I was told by one of the most powerful leaders of the world that they are going to be announcing in the not-too-distant future 5 major factories in the United States between increasing and new 5. You'll be hearing about that very soon. And I said, thank you very much. And he said, you know what? It's starting to happen in the United States. It's starting to happen. So I just wanted to let you know that. I promised I wouldn't say who. I'll keep my word, okay? Unless you force me. Members of both parties, it happens to be in the automobile industry, that's a good industry. Members of both parties should agree that we need a tax code that keeps jobs in our country and brings jobs back to our country.
That's exactly what the fair tax does.
And for the millions of small businesses and farms that file their taxes as sole proprietors, S corporations or partnerships, we will cap the tax rate they pay at 25%, much lower. Big difference.
Note, you still have to do a tax return, and it's 25%.
This will be the lowest top marginal income tax rate for small and mid-sized businesses in this country in more than 80 years.
That's how bad it is.
To give businesses even more reason to boost their investment in America, for the next 5 years, our framework will allow to fully write off, listen to this, the cost of equipment in the year they buy it. That is big. And that's instead of having to take deductions and deduct the cost over a long period of time. Now, that's called incentive. That's called incentive.
A real incentive, you don't pay taxes on income or capital.
To help American businesses afford the heavy industrial machinery and other capital investments they need to grow big and grow strong. Joining us today is John Gannon, the owner of a custom wood fencing and deck construction company in Indianapolis. John is the father of 9 children and recently celebrated his 35th wedding anniversary. Congratulations, John. And John is in the fencing company, as you heard. And I'm just thinking, I have to mention this. You know, we have a fence around the White House. We have a fence around the White House. And they want to build a new fence. And I figured, you know, I'm pretty good at construction. I figured, I don't know, maybe a million, maybe a million and a half. And this has been taking place over a long period of time, previous administrations. So I said, how much is the fence you're talking around the White House? Sir, the fence will cost approximately $50 million. I said, what? I kid you not. And we have thousands of things like that, thousands. We're going to get it all down. But we think of that, $50 million. Now, I assume it's a strong fence. Okay. So, John, do you think you could do it for slightly less than $50 million? I think he could take 49 off right now and would have, and he'd have plenty of profit, right? Right, John?
Sad to say, while he's joking about this, the Defense Department, there are many, many examples. It's sad. He's not going after spending. Oh, he'll cut certain departments and agencies' budget, but we're talking substantial cuts. And this is just one small example multiply it by millions. That's the corruption, the abuse, the waste that never seems to be corrected.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Never understand it, but we're working on it. John says that a tax cut, like we're proposing, will make his business more competitive, allowing him to expand, hire more workers, and raise wages for his current employees. Right, John? Also with us is Aaron Williams, a father of two who works in the field of information technology. Where's Aaron? Hello, Aaron. Hi. It's a good field. Aaron has seen the disastrous effects of high and just literally high corporate tax rates right up close and personal as more and more high-tech jobs are shipped overseas. You've been watching it, Aaron, right? All over. Like millions of other Americans, Aaron wants to bring those jobs back to the United States. We're going to reduce the tax rate on American businesses so they can keep the jobs in America, Aaron, create jobs in America, compete for workers in America, and raise wages right here in America. You're going to be in a much different position, okay? Thank you. Tremendous incentives. We want more products proudly stamped with those four beautiful words, made in the USA, right? Made in the USA. Finally, our framework encourages American companies to bring back the trillions and trillions of dollars in wealth that's parked overseas. Our current tax system, trillions. And by the way, for years I've been hearing it's $2.5 trillion. So I've been hearing this for about 5 years, so I assume it's much more, right? But Democrats want to do it, and Republicans want to do it. For years, who doesn't want to do it? They want to bring the — but they can't do it because it's so restrictive and the taxes are so ridiculous, so they can't do it. So the money stays in other countries, and it's invested in other countries. We want to bring it back. But think of it. It's one of the few things Democrats want it, and Republicans want it. So they both want it, and yet for years they haven't been able to do it. Now we're doing it. We're doing things.
Well, excuse me. It's the income tax. Let's say you change it. Democrats come in, they could change it back. More importantly is, let's assume for a minute, see, with the fair tax, there's no penalty. They'll just come back. There's no tax collected until they sell goods. If there's no tax, it'll definitely come back. But the key is, will they expand their business, invest in the business, as opposed to what they did last time this was tried. What did they do? Largely either gave dividends to the stockholders or they bought their stock back. They largely did not invest in physical capital, namely plant and equipment, machinery to expand their businesses. So you got to be careful here. If there's no tax on capital, no tax on income, what do you have to do to raise money? You want a booming economy where people are consuming and that raises the revenue. You want, he said the magic words, incentive. You want the right incentives to encourage new business formation, entrepreneurs to start new businesses, whether they're U.S. citizens or foreigners in the United States. And then for existing businesses, you want it to expand. And they need to see, over time, the economy go from 1% to 2% growth to 3% to 4% to 5%. Then they will invest, because they need to invest to meet the demand for their goods and services. It's clear to me he is familiar with taxes. Anyone in real estate is, because it's a major driver is taxes. But he has been so, let us say, for so many years, it's the income tax. He can't think out of the box. He can't think of a better system when there is one, a lot better than what he's proposing. I favor what he's doing, but there's a much better way, and other people, and this is not new, folks. This has been thoroughly researched years ago, And it still applies. We've been waiting for a leader, a true leader that sees it, has the vision to implement it, and has the guts to fight who? The people that are trying to stop him. You see, I doubt he can get this passed. The only way he can is to dramatically make it more generous, which I applaud. But then what is he going to do? And mark my words, there's either going to be another bracket, a fourth bracket, or a tax surcharge for the rich, the super rich. That's not the answer, Mr. President. The answer is one tax, a single tax, 20%. Everyone knows it's 20% from the poorest to the richest, and it's imposed when you buy a new good or service, when you check out at the cash register, in the price of the good is 20 cents goes to the federal government, or 20%, or whatever the price of the good is. Even Bill Gates, and I haven't put that video on, but he was being interviewed and said, "Why don't you tax our spending?" And I wanted to stand up and cheer. He figures it out. I'd hope that Donald Trump could eventually figure it out.
You know, it's one thing when we want a health care and they want a health care and there's a dispute, but here's something everybody wants and they can't do it. So you can tell you there's a broken system in D.C., but we're getting it fixed rather rapidly. You'll be seeing that over the next few months. Our current tax system makes us one of the few developed nations in the world to punish our companies when they bring wealth earned overseas back into our country. We're punishing them for bringing the money back in. As a result, corporations have parked many trillions of dollars in foreign countries, and many have incorporated abroad in order to avoid our punitive tax system altogether. And some companies actually leave our country because they have so much money overseas, so much, it's an incredible amount, that they move the company to get their money. We're going to let them bring the money back home.
Mr. President, listen to yourself. Put a stake in it. The income tax. That's the problem. It's that monstrosity that has gotten out of hand, so complex no one understands it. It has negative impacts, and you want to continue it. The logic is you don't continue something that has these bad consequences, results. You kill it. Put a stake in it. It's destroying the United States' competitiveness, and it's being done by Democrats and Republicans.
Our framework will stop punishing companies for keeping their headquarters in the United States. We're punishing companies under our codes for being in the United States. We will impose a one-time low tax on returning money that is already offshore so that it can be brought back home to America where it belongs and where it can be put to work and work and work.
With a fair tax or fair tax less, there's no tax. It's gone. The whole Internal Revenue Code income-based tax system is gone. Not only will you get American companies bringing their money back, you'll have other industries, businesses from other countries flocking to the United States because the United States would have the most competitive tax system in the world, and you're ignoring it. You're continuing this monster, this Frankenstein that was designed initially to suck it to the rich, and now it's punishing American citizens, hard-working American citizens, by making them government serfs. Give me a break, Mr. President. You need to do your homework and get smart, because I'm not impressed with this.
The framework I've just described represents a once-in-a-generation opportunity to reduce taxes, rebuild our economy, and restore America's competitive edge, finally. And I have to say, just before coming here, we released some of the details of the tax and the tax reform and the tax cuts, and it has really received tremendous, tremendous reviews. And if Senator Donnelly doesn't approve it, because, you know, he's on the other side, We will come here. We will campaign against him like you wouldn't believe. I think they're going to approve it. I think we'll have, actually, I think we'll have numerous Democrats come across because it's the right thing to do. These reforms will be a dramatic change from a failed tax system that encourages American businesses to ship jobs to foreign countries that have much lower tax rates. That's what we can't do. Our competitors have much lower tax rates, but no longer. My administration strongly rejects this offshoring model, and we have embraced the new model. It's called the American model. Under the American model, we are reducing burdens on our businesses as long as they do business in our country. That's what we want. We want them to do business in our country, not to leave our country like a number of firms from Indiana. Some made some great promises to me, but those promises are only being partially kept because they're incentivized to leave. But now they're going to be incentivized to stay. And if that doesn't work, then we'll get even tougher than that.
Okay. You see, he always gets back to Mr. Tough Guy. Well, we're going to get him. Positive incentives, positive reinforcement works, Mr. President. The income tax system is not positive reinforcement, just the reverse. It punishes people that are successful. It punishes people that want to work hard. Because when they are successful and work hard, they pay more and more and more and more in taxes, and the rules are changed. And they're changed. And they're changed. You're supposed to learn from history, not repeat it. And Donald Trump, like many past presidents, has not learned from history. He is doing the right thing in the sense he's going in the right direction. He's making the tax rates lower. But what is happening in Congress? They're saying revenue neutral, revenue neutral. How are you going to, listen to this, pay for it? Now, Donald Trump, President Trump, well, we're going to grow our way out of it. Yes. But what should you be doing to make sure it works? Cutting government spending, and they're not doing it. He's silent on this, actually worse than silent. He wants to expand defense spending, and most of it I would be inclined to support. And he also wants to expand infrastructure spending, and we need it. But who is in the best position to judge what infrastructure projects should be done? It's at the local level, not at the federal level. Incentives are important, but we have a system that costs us every year, not a one-time charge. Years ago, it was $250 billion. Now it's over $500 billion, and it's getting worse. See, it's important to do the right thing, but it's even more important to do the better thing. And the better thing is a broad-based consumption tax. And there are many ways to do that. Some are not very good. But the fair tax with a prebate is the way to go. And you can tailor it and even take ownership. And that's what you should do. Call it Trump's fair tax less. Whatever. I don't care. But whatever you do, don't continue down this road. You're perpetuating a failed system. It's time to turn it off. It's time to turn the income tax system off and turn on a more efficient, effective tax system that'll get you the revenues you need, but also will encourage business formation, capital formation, and bring the not only the money of U.S. corporations home, but also foreign investors being attracted to invest in America because it's the best place to be. Not only is it a large market, it has the best tax system. Instead, he goes on and on and on and doesn't see the fallacy, the failure to see. He's recommending the very system to continue that has caused the problem. That's madness. That's being too close to the problem.
We want our companies to hire and grow in America and to raise wages for American workers and to help rebuild American cities and towns. That is how we will all succeed together and grow together as one team, one people, and one American family. We want it to happen here. Tax reform has not historically been a partisan issue, and it does not have to be a partisan issue today. I really believe we're going to have numerous Democrats come over and sign because it's the right thing to do. I believe that it's the right thing to do, and I know many of them, and they're telling me it is the right thing to do. President Reagan's tax cuts were passed with significant bipartisan majorities at a time when there was a Democrat majority in the House and a Democrat speaker, Tip O'Neill. Before that, Democrat President John F. Kennedy championed tax cuts that surged the economy and massively reduced unemployment. As President Kennedy very wisely said, the single most important fiscal weapon available to strengthen the national economy is the federal tax policy. The right kind of tax cut at the right time, this is the right time, is the most effective measure that this government could take to spur our economy forward. That was President Kennedy.
I agree with both Kennedy and Reagan. Matter of fact, Reagan was the only president, quite frankly, that was a conservative as well as a libertarian. But it has to be the right kind as well as the right time. We're well past the right time. Let me say that again. We're well past. We should have been fundamentally changing our tax system years ago, decades ago, but we didn't. And it should not be. In fact, it should be a bipartisan because it benefits everybody. Enough credit can go around. And I truly believe they're Democrats for the fair tax, but they won't come out for it because they march in lockstep. You need to see the advantages and the disadvantages. And it's a damn shame that this president didn't act boldly. Oh, I applaud what he's doing. I applaud the aims, and I applaud what he's trying to do. And he's going in the right direction. But I remind him it was not easy. Remember what happened to President Kennedy. He got assassinated. It was Lyndon Baines Johnson that pushed it through. And he was the former Senate Majority Leader. And it wasn't easy. And the same thing with Reagan. It wasn't easy. People in his own party, as well as Democrats, opposed him. We need fundamental change, but the right fundamental change. We should have been doing this years ago. Now, every day we wait is a day wasted, but it needs to be the right reform because this is difficult to do. Remember, this is just a proposal. This isn't a law. There's a long way to go before anything is passed, and I'm not optimistic on this. I want to be optimistic, but I'm not because this is not as bold that it should be. As far as I'm concerned, it's not even close. Oh, it'll help the corporations. I understand that, but they're not paying that higher rate, 35%. He knows it. I know it. Corporations know it. Mr. President, I'm pleading with you to reconsider and talk to Mike Pence. Talk to Mike Pence and ask, is there a better way, a more efficient way? And there is. Talk to the people that put together the fair tax. You see where the incentives are right and people keep most of what they earn, they're motivated, whether it's an individual worker, a small business, or an entire industry. But we've lost sight of that. Now it's we have to have enough money to pay for government spending for a $50 million fence.
My fellow Americans, this is the right tax cut, and this is the right time. Democrats and Republicans in Congress should come together, finally, to deliver this giant win for the American people and begin middle-class miracle. It's called a middle-class miracle once again. It's also called a miracle for our great companies, a miracle for the middle class, for the working person. I truly believe that many Democrats want to support our plan, and with enough encouragement from the American people, they will find the courage to do what is right for our great country. But they'll only do it if you, the American people, make your voices heard. Only if you tell Congress to give us a tax code that puts American jobs first. And that's what we're doing. History has proven time and time again that there is no power on earth more awesome than the will of the American people. That is why today I am asking all Americans, Republican, Democrat, Independent, to join with me and with each other to demand tax reform that will truly, truly, truly make America great again. Call your congressmen, call your senators, let them know you're watching. Let them know you're waiting. Tell them that today is the day for decision, that now is the time to heal this self-inflicted economic wound, and that with their action, the future will belong to all of us. If you demand it, the politicians will listen. They will answer, and they will act. And someday, many years from now, our children and our grandchildren will remember this moment in history as the time when ordinary Americans took control of their destiny and chose a future of American patriotism, prosperity, and pride. With your help and your voice, we will bring back our jobs, we will bring back our wealth, and for every citizen across this land, we will bring back our great American dreams. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Thank you.
That was President Donald Trump in Indianapolis, Indiana, outlining his tax framework to reform the tax system. There still would be an income tax. Yes, the rates go down. Any decrease in rates is welcome tax relief. But is it the best tax relief? I agree, we need it now, but this is not it. It's a flawed framework. At its core, it's rotten because it continues the income tax system that has put the United States of America, its businesses, at a competitive disadvantage. Even though, going on 20 years, we have known about the fair tax. A group of wealthy people from Houston went to economists, didn't tell them what the answer was. They asked, and this was years ago, what would be the best tax system, the fairest tax system, the efficient tax system? And they were surprised with the answer. They didn't expect the answer. But it wasn't an income tax system. It was a system based on taxing not your income, but your consumption. When you bought a new good or service, everybody has to eat. Everybody has to drink. Everybody needs clothes. Everybody needs a roof over their head. Everybody needs a form of transportation. In Texas, in Dallas, it's a car. In some cities, it's riding the subway or the bus system. You need to get around. You need to get to your job. You need to get to your school. What I'm talking about, everyone has to purchase the essentials, the necessities of life. And remember, under the current system, whatever their actual gross paycheck is, when they finally see what's left, and it really shocks people the first time they get that first paycheck to see how much is taken out. You don't think that's a disincentive, withholding payroll taxes? It is. See, the advantage of a consumption tax, it's hard to cheat. Retailers have to collect it, but they have been, the states, 47, 48, I've lost track. They have sales tax and they collect it. It works. Now, it's not technically a sales tax, although many people like to refer to it as a national sales tax because there's a slight difference. There's a prebate involved. And the reason for the prebate is to make it not a higher incident of taxation, a regressive tax, which sales taxes are, and so are payroll taxes. But instead, make it a progressive tax that upfront considers the fact that those with low incomes would be hit with that same tax. This tax is 20%. I don't like 20%. I wish it were 10. Let me say that off the bat. But you got to face reality. You got to bring in enough revenue to finance the essential functions of government. And that's the purpose of taxes, is to fund the government. So it is 20% now. Does it have to be 20% forever? No. I would hope with a booming, growing economy, it could be brought down. But I remind you today, when you buy a loaf of bread at your grocery store, let's say it's a dollar loaf of bread, that in the price of that loaf of bread are all those taxes, including payroll taxes, income tax, estate and gift taxes, believe it or not. And it's approximately 23%. That's what the fair tax came up with, the people that designed it, because it was built on an assuming revenue neutrality. It had to be revenue neutral, which means it has to bring in as much revenue as the current system is. I don't agree with that. Revenue neutral is a way to stop people from balancing budgets and cutting spending. That's what the tactic is. Well, you got to pay for it. See, I partially agree. But what I mean by pay for it is not another tax someplace else, like a fourth bracket or a tax surcharge. What needs to be done, and this is more difficult and would not have bipartisan support, is to drastically downsize the federal government, cut spending. That's what's needed, and this president won't do it. He's a liberal Democrat. He's a big government guy, as is most of the leadership of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. We need competition. Competition is good, but we really need competition in the political arena, because the two-party system is failing who? The American people. And the American people know it, because they're leaving both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. That's why their party affiliation is what? Independent. They've had it with either party. They've had it with the lies, the deceptions, the distractions, and the betrayal of the very people they elect, whether it's congressmen, congresswomen, senators, and presidents, where they're more concerned about illegal aliens than American citizens, American workers. What's sad about this, I fundamentally agree with what President Trump is trying to do, in the sense of making America not only great again, but good again, where it says made in America, not made in China, made in Vietnam, made in Mexico. Americans are hardworking and can compete. But what is out of line? What has been growing and growing and growing for the last 125 years? Government, government, government at all levels. It's time to downsize the federal government, and that's what's not being even talked about. Donald Trump may get a second term, but we are running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We will become Greece in 10, 15, or 20 years. And I don't want to go there. I don't even want to think about it. We have less and less time every day to make the right decisions. We can't afford, we don't have the luxury anymore of making wrong decisions. And continuing the income tax system is the wrong decision. Even Donald Trump knows that. We need leadership to take on both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Remember, who put this together? Republicans in the Senate and the House. Do you think they think out of the box? No way. No way. It has to be an income tax system, even though it's failed and failed and failed. Why? They want to grow government. Both parties want to grow government. They don't want to deal with two big problems. You can't just look at the tax system. You got to look at what? What you're spending the money on. Is President Trump even suggesting closing one department or one agency? There's at least eight that should be permanently shut down, and several agencies. We need a downsized government, as well as decrease the tax burden and change the fundamental way that taxes are collected. No more tax returns and wasting money preparing tax returns and having an IRS checking our math that we follow the rules that no one understands because of the complexity. The answer is not to continue the income tax system. That is a bad idea whose time is over. What we need is a broad-based consumption tax. There are different ways to implement that. I strongly recommend the fair tax, and even to make the fair tax better, have a lower rate. Instead of an inclusive rate of 23%, I'm recommending 20%. Instead of a tax prebate for adults and children, give every adult from the poorest to the richest every month a check from the government of $1,000 to pay for what? The taxes on the essentials, the necessities of life. That makes it fair, Mr. President. Fair to low-income and middle-income people. What you have proposed is tiny, tiny. And you know it, and I know it. The tax burden in the United States is squarely on the middle class. That's why you're only doubling the standard deduction. That's ridiculous. Now, maybe that's your negotiating tactic. We'll increase it more if the Democrats vote for us. But you've already made a big, fundamental, strategic mistake and a long-lasting mistake. You've kept the income tax system. A golden opportunity missed. Crying out for leadership. Crying out for competition in the political arena. Ladies and gentlemen, if you keep electing Democrats and Republicans, nothing fundamental is going to change. You're electing the status quo. Donald Trump ran as an outsider, picked the right wedge issue of immigration, but he also had that slogan, make America great again. What's making America worse again? One thing is out of control government spending, not even mentioned. Okay, it's a tax speech. But what's destroying America is the income tax system. Wake up. We still have some time to go to another system. It's not written in concrete that it has to be an income tax system. And there are plenty of experts smarter than me that can give you all the details you want. But you have to want and have an open mind. But even more importantly, after you do your homework, and finally discover it is a better way, you got to be willing to sell it like you're trying to sell this framework. I wasn't much moved with this proposal. It's a compromise of a compromise of a compromise. It's not fundamental tax reform. It is a tax cut. And for that alone, you'll get votes. But that doesn't impress me. Anyone can recommend, whether it's Kennedy or Reagan, a tax cut. Who's against a tax cut? What you want to do is make it so everyone can prosper and doesn't need to depend on the government. Because it's government that is the problem, to quote Reagan. It's not the solution. And you're not addressing spending, Mr. President. You're not addressing spending. Because the core problem is dramatically out of control spending, way beyond the means of the American people through its tax system to support it. The fiscal year ends tonight. Fiscal year 2017 ends tonight in a few hours. And what will be the deficit? $500 billion? No. $600 billion? Maybe. $700 billion? Strong possibility there. You can't continue to do this. Deficits do matter. Deficit spending is ruining this country because it's driven by out-of-control government spending. That's what we're talking about, spending more money than all the taxes that the federal government has. It is spending beyond to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. That's outrageous. If we were in the private sector, we'd be bankrupt. You know that. It almost happened to you, and you're perpetuating it. Leaders have to take on not the easy problems, but the important, timely, big problems. And the two big problems today, and by far, it's out-of-control government spending that has to be addressed, whether you want to address it, whether Democrats or the Republicans, because the people are demanding it. They know this cannot continue. This house of cards will fall. because this nation will be a house divided many, many times because of a lack of leadership, where the biggest deficit is leadership coming out of Washington, D.C. They are an embarrassment. They should be ashamed of themselves, and many are retiring, frankly, in frustration and disgust. Wake up. Do your homework. I'm pleading with you, and I don't have a monopoly on wisdom, but there are many, many people that have studied this, that are expert on it, and they know of it, and that's what's the shame, because the people that are trying to perpetuate the status quo, oh, they might not be hurt, but they could have done many times better had we confronted our problems in an honest way and dealt with them. Instead, we've let them fester year in, year out, decades of this. And now we're closer and closer and closer to where both Social Security, Medicare will be running massive deficits, as well as many other programs. You have to deal with the difficult problems. And if you're not up to it, Mr. President, and if you don't have an open mind, then stand aside. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.